Today is January 6th, year 2007, and we're celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord, in particular His manifestation to the Gentile world, the first fulfillment of the prophecy that our Lord Jesus Christ came to convert the Gentile world primarily, and also, of course, to have the Jews to convert them to believe in Him and all that. But we knew that many of them would not accept Him, so then He turns Himself over and He says, I will now go and turn my favor to the Gentiles, and I will no longer give any special favor to the Jewish race anymore. Jews and Gentiles are now all equal. In the Old Covenant era, the Jews were the rulers to bring forth God's salvation to the world. And they even had the high positions in authority and ruler, not Gentiles. Even the Gentile converts could not ascend to the priesthood or rulerships in the of God's chosen people. But in the New Covenant era, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. All are equal in the eyes of God as far as hierarchic order and ruling His church. And God even proved that, because now the Gentiles would even specifically replace the early popes. A lot of them were Jews and rulers, but then finally became all Gentiles, Romans, Italians, and Gentiles ruling His church. But we know that the fulfillment of this prophecy took place, and only by the Catholic Church and no one else, because she's the one that went out and preached to all the nations, converted all the nations. All the Gentile nations came in to Holy Mother Church. So that's a fulfillment of that prophecy that our Lord said would happen throughout the Old Covenant era, which was today's the beginning of that. When we had the wise men who represent the Gentiles laying down their gifts at the foot of the baby Jesus and adoring Him as the Messiah and the King. Even they knew that He was the Messiah, so what excuse could a Jew have for not accepting Christ when you get Gentiles coming from foreign lands who were of goodwill? So anybody who was goodwill, our Lord promises that He would draw them into the church. Now, of course, we pray during this Epiphany season too that God would, again, somewhat lift the Amos curse and enlighten some of those people of goodwill out there known to Him, the self-professed non-Catholics, because the current-day Gentiles represent, when you read the Scriptures now, when you read about Gentiles in the Old Covenant era, what that really means is unbelievers, as opposed to the Jews who were the believers. And when you were a Gentile convert, you were treated as a Jew. They looked at you as an Israelite. Even though you cannot ascend into positions of authority, you were still a Jew by faith, because you accepted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Gentile really means unbelievers, non-professed believers. So we're talking about, I'll tell you, the Gentiles in the world today are all those self-professed non-Catholics, Muslims, who worship in false gods. Muslims, Talmudic Jews, Protestants, and all these people that are worshiping false gods. And we pray that God will lift that. Even we pray God will lift the Amos curse amongst some of these so-called Catholics that profess themselves to be Catholic but are falling away. We pray for both of these types of people. Obviously, we want everybody to be saved, but we know that's not going to happen. We also know that God tells us very few self-professed Catholics who are actually apostates and heretics will convert. Very few. We're not going to get many of them. It's God's word. We're only going to get very few. We're going to get mostly the self-professed non-Catholics. But either way, we pray for God to enlighten some of these people in His good time and in His, if it's according to His will, and bring them into the Catholic Church in these days. And so we can have a few more people as we grow slowly, so that when God really starts to really give His manifestation and converting more people, we're going to have help to be able to catechize these people and bring them into the church and teach them. But I know that the time for that is not yet. I know that. That's not going to be for several years till all the major books and all the major work gets done on my website. Then God is going to, in a real powerful way, do His miracles, and we're going to be opposing the Antichrist at that time. But in between this preparatory period of time, which I talk about, which God is granting us a great type of a temporal peace so that we can get this work done. Or otherwise, I'd never be able to get all this work done if there was too many conversions coming in, there was too many distractions. So clearly, this is a preparatory time to prepare. There's a verse that says, do your work ahead of time and God will reward you in His time. So it's not time for yet for God to really lift the Amos curse. Not really. For most people. He's only going to do it for maybe a few people who can come in here to help us. That's going to happen maybe 3, 4, 5 years. I think we're really talking at least about maybe 5 more years of minimum, at least, before we get all this work done. But I'm not positive on that. I know it's going to at least be 2, 3, or 4 years, maybe even 5, maybe more. But whenever God determines that most of the work is done on that website, He's then going to go manifest Himself again through miraculous ways to the world, through us, Mary's Little Remnant, and He's going to bring people of goodwill into the church in a good amount. Still, it's only going to be few, but even as I always tell everybody, a few is still a lot. If you take 1% of the population of the world, that's still a lot of people that we're going to have to deal with, even though it's only 1%. So we're going to have people now at this period of time, ahead of time, goodwill people coming in now who, when that time happens, we're going to be prepared to be able to handle it. But that time is not yet. And the point that I make here, too, with the gifts that were given our Lord, in the first coming, they gave him a gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's only one thing that really needs to change during his epiphany of the second coming, because his ultimate epiphany, his final epiphany, is the second coming. When Jesus Christ manifests himself to the world, not as a babe, not as an infant, not as a suffering servant, not to be crucified, but as the conquering king that's going to kill people. He's going to kill almost everybody in the whole earth and burn it all up with fire. He's going to come as the conquering king that the Jews during his first coming expected. But now he's going to do this at the second coming. So he's coming with a sword. So you replace the myrrh with a sword. If you want to give our Lord gifts during these days, these final days, give him gold, frankincense, and a sword. You know, a real physical sword, not just a spiritual sword. His spiritual sword is always there. So he's always got the spiritual sword. We even had a temple sword for a while there in our kingdoms. But I'm talking about Christ himself now in person, not through his Catholic good kings that really spread his empire. But Christ is going to be coming with a sword, and he's going to kill almost everybody in the whole world, and only faithful Catholics who are in a state of grace are going to remain and glory in that day. All the rest are going to be destroyed by Christ. So people have to realize that what his second coming represents, it's not to come like he did the first time. You know, he's going to come as the conquering king and destroying people. And the thing that I bring to mind on this during this season is we're now going through like an opposite thing of what people are really doing today, and they don't even realize, and I spoke about it last week, how all these so-called Catholics are really worshiping a false Christ that profess themselves to be Catholic. SSP 10, Vatican II, or Sede Vacantis, that whole heresy. They're all worshiping a false Christ. They're all really, and our Lord says when you worship a false Christ, you're all worshiping, whether you know it or not, the Antichrist. The Buddhists, the Muslims, they're all worshiping Antichrists. But in particular, what we see happening today is that it's the reverse of what happened during his first coming. During his first coming, Christ was manifest to the Gentile world, and they all came to Christ and laid down their allegiance at his feet in great numbers, where Christ converted almost the whole world and all the nations, even though not all the people, but almost every nation in the world became Catholic at one time, almost. You know, but now we're going to see the opposite. The people are now coming to the foot of the Antichrist, and they're giving him gold, frankincense, and they're not giving him myrrh, they're giving him the sword, because he doesn't... some of the Jews do believe that the Messiah is going to suffer, but most of them don't. They believe when the Messiah comes, they totally throw out Isaiah 53. So the whole world now, and the whole Gentile world, and the whole world, even these self-professed Catholics, are now laying their allegiance down at the foot of the Antichrist, and they're giving him their gifts. Because back in this original prophecy, it says all the nations will come and adore our Lord first, but then our Lord prophesies that there will be a great falling away when the Gentile nations and everybody will then reject him again, and that's the end of the world. And so now the whole world is really laying their allegiance at the foot of the Antichrist. They're giving him their gifts, and they're waiting for him to come. And in particular, the Jews are going to represent him as the Christ, because he's replacing the Christ. So these are really sad days that are happening here. The prophecies already have been fulfilled, in which Christ went out and converted the majority of the Gentile nations. That'll not happen again. All we're going to get is individual conversions. We might have a small piece of land here and there, a few pieces of land, but we know from Scripture, Antichrist is going to control almost all the earth, but not all of it. We're going to have some land. But he's going to control almost all the nations. And if we even get one nation, we'll be fortunate. I don't know if that'll even happen. We might only get a portion of a nation, wherever it is that God sees fit, that we should have some land to be able to rule for Christ the King in these final days and bring converts into that land. But it's not going to be most. It's going to be very little, because Scriptures say in Apocalypse 13:3-5, all the nations shall adore the beast. He gathers together all the nations. So now we see this gathering that took place during the first coming into the Catholic Church, which was prophesied, has now reversed itself because they rejected the Christ. And they're now all going to the foot of the Antichrist and laying their gifts down. And you look at, this is particularly happening where the home of the Antichrist is going to be in apostate Jerusalem of today. All these dumb Protestants are giving gifts to these apostate Jews to build their temple. And all the stuff that they need to support the state of Israel, which is an abomination to God. And it's this nation that's going to bring the Antichrist to power. And they're all laying down at the foot of the Talmudic, an apostate Jew, thinking that they're blessed when they're cursed doubly. The curse that we all have from original sin and mortal sins and from the blood guilt of Christ. because they were the race that was supposed to make Christ manifest. And when a Jew doesn't believe in Christ, he's doubly cursed, because a Him of all people should know Christ. So now all the world is running towards Jerusalem, almost all the world. There's a few people that are resistant and can see the conspiracy to Jews as the ultimate evil, and these people, like even some Muslims and stuff, can be of goodwill and convert. If they can, we can get to them with the word of God in God's due time with some miracles. But everybody is, even the Muslims are worshiping a false Christ. But the ultimate Antichrist really is now the state of Israel, which everybody is now worshiping and adoring. Everyone's afraid to talk against. The whole Jewish race has been sort of turned into a Messiah. So everybody really, even the fallen away Catholics that call themselves Catholic, the Chicadas and Sanborns, if you were to ask him, could a Talmudic Jew who denies Christ be saved? They would say yes. So who are they worshiping? They are worshiping the Talmudic Jewish Christ, whether they like it or not. They can tell me, no, Richard, I still believe in the Catholic Christ. No, you don't. No, you don't, because that's not what the Catholic Christ taught. The Catholic Christ taught that he who believes in me and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believes not shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son of God shall have life everlasting. He who believes not, the wrath of God shall abide upon him. I'm just talking about these groups that look Catholic, and I'm telling you they're worshiping the Antichrist. They're worshiping the beast. Right now, Chicada, Stanborn, all these so-called holy-looking people are really giving their gifts on Epiphany Day to the Antichrist. That's not the infant in their crib. That's the Antichrist. And that's who they're giving their gifts to. Christ doesn't accept not one of their prayers or their gifts, because they're an abomination in his eyes. Because they're actually going out there and saying people can be saved without believing in the true Christ and without belonging to his church. I said that again, I said it, they're an abomination. So now, almost the whole world is almost, there's only the few people I know, or Mary's little remnant, who are at the foot of the true Christ, giving him adoration and praise. Everyone else is false, worshiping a false Christ, and they're all laying down their allegiance to the Antichrist, who they think is the Christ. Yes, Chicada too. All these Protestants are all worshiping Antichrists. All Antichrist is getting all the adoration, and Christ is getting nothing. Except for us few Catholics that I know about. And we're laying down at the foot of his crib today gold, frankincense, and the sword, not the myrrh. And it's going to be Christ working through us, because we're going to oppose the Antichrist, and we're going to put the wrath of God down upon people, and we're going to punish people. Where God's going to give us the power to do that. And it's going to get the attention of the goodwill people, and that's how we're going to get conversions. So it's by the sword, and it of necessity has to be that way now, because the world is so evil. And because the Antichrist was given such great power in these days by God himself. But God has never totally abandoned people. Even in the dark days that he almost cursed, the faith is still there for those who want to find it. But especially in these days when he wants to start converting the Jews and the Muslims, which is prophecy he's going to convert them, there needs to be a manifestation of God's power. The Catholic God, who is the one true God. And at that point, there's only going to be two forces to contend with, either the Antichrist or the Catholic God, who we're going to be speaking for. And that's what people are going to have to look forward in these days. And I tell you, be especially careful, as I said last week even, of these self-professed Catholics that are not Catholic at all. They're apostates, they're heretics, they're denying dogmas that were by past popes and infallible councils and papal decrees, councils confirmed by popes. You deny one dogma, you're a heretic. You're not worshiping the true Christ anymore, you're not speaking for God. And I'm telling you, these are the worst people, because they were supposed to be like the Jews in the first coming, Catholics, make Christ manifest to the world, and now these so-called Catholics are doing what the Jews did. They're not making it manifest, they're actually denying it. So that's a little something for what we have to look forward in this upcoming year. And I tell all the people to get out of these so-called chapels. If you're attending Mass anywhere, you're a heretic. You're outside the church. Because all the priests and bishops that I know are notorious heretics. Every one of them. And if any one of you are here in this sermon and think that your priest happens to be a true Catholic priest, just email me, tell me his name, and give me his address and phone number. I'll call him up and speak to him, and I'll prove to you he's not Catholic. And a lot of people come around telling me, oh, where does Chicada CMRI? Somebody said, where does the CMRI deny the dogma? I said, they wrote an article, they wrote an explicit article that said there is salvation outside the Catholic Church. That somebody who dies, and this is what you have to ask them, by the way, folks out there, in regards to salvation dogma, ask any one of these priests, if anybody dies as a Talmudic Jew or a Muslim and goes to his particular judgment as a Talmudic Jew or Muslim, could he be saved? The salvation heretics say yes. If they try to tell you with a little dodge and say, well, if he converts before he dies, anything can happen before he dies, yeah, but we're not talking about that. I agree. Anybody can convert before they die. If that means, if a Talmudic Jew is going to convert before he dies and he's on his deathbed, he has to reject Talmudic Judaism, and he has to make an abjuration from that false religion and make an explicit profession of the Catholic faith and the Catholic God, then he could be saved. I agree with that. We're not talking about that scenario. We're talking about the guy that dies as a Talmudic Jew and goes to his particular judgment. That's how you'll trap every one of them. That's how we trap the CMR guy, guys. They actually believe you can be saved without supernatural faith. It's not enough just to believe in the natural faith, which is that God exists and rewards and punishes. That's a natural faith. That will not save you. You've got to believe in the supernatural dogmas, doctrines that God reveals to his Catholic Church. They're also denying that dogma. I want to just try this on because I'm telling you that all these people out there that call themselves Catholics that are at the foot of the altar and have the true Mass are a bunch of antichrists. They're giving their gifts to the antichrist. They're serving the Jewish antichrist in the end, ultimately. And they say, no, I'm not really doing that. Well, yes, you are, because anybody really who's not worshiping the Catholic Christ is worshiping an antichrist. And that's what they're doing. The true Christ actually abominates them more than anybody. The Talmudic Jews are not near as evil as these fallen away Catholics, because they're using the name of the true God and giving it a bad name. The true Christ, you know, and they're giving it a bad, not even as bad as the Protestants are bad, but not even as bad as the fallen away Catholics who are professing to be Catholic. So I'm telling you people out there, and I'm warning you, the only place you can find the faith is at St. John the Baptist's website and my writings and my teachings. It sounds arrogant, that's your problem if you think it's arrogant. I don't care what you think. You don't like the fact that God chose me to do these writings, that's your problem, not mine. What I'm teaching is the truth. Everything's backed up by papal bulls and dogmas, and eventually, in due time, if I stay faithful and all us here, God is going to manifest his power through us to the whole world. But that's not going to happen for at least 5 years. That's my opinion. Maybe longer, maybe a little shorter, I don't know. But I know he's going to do it if we stay faithful. And I know he's even going to start to send some people into our camp right now and do a little private miracles for them. He's already done that for us here. I will not tell you all the little miracles he's done for us here. He does them every day for us. Big secret miracles. He doesn't tell them. And I hope he does this to other people too that are out there. That's our prayer for this season, so that we can start to get a solid core of good Catholics in here, so that when the time comes for the major manifestation and a major battle against the Antichrist, we're going to have helpers. But I tell you what, don't flatter yourself. I don't care. God don't need nobody. He doesn't need none of us. If God wants to save the whole world by 8 people like Noah's Ark, then that's what he's going to do. It's not about the numbers game, so I really don't particularly... I really want you to be saved, but if you don't, that's your problem, not mine. I don't worry about that. I'm not here getting all putting the cart before the horse. If you want to come into Mary's Little Remnant, you've got to profess each and every one of the dogmas of the Catholic faith. And you've got to be willing to go out there and profess that faith to others. And you've got to be willing to go out there and demand that other people hold it before you even call them Catholic. And then you have to be willing to live a good Catholic life. If you're not willing to do all these things, you've got no place in Mary's Little Remnant. Because bad Catholics and fallen away Catholics is the reason we got into the great apostasy. And the only way you're going to get out of the great apostasy is if we have good Catholics. And I just told you what God through Mary is doing here, Jesus through Mary, is forming good Catholics. I'm not saying we're perfect. To the day we die, God's always going to work with us, but we want to be perfect, and we could become perfect. We could become perfect. Yes, we could, even in this life. And definitely, there's no reason for anybody to commit a mortal sin or even a venial sin. But in particular, mortal sins are the things I talk about here, because essentially there's no reason. If you do, it's your own fault. Okay, so a lot of you people that are out there right now, listen to what I'm saying. You better get out of these churches, get away from these priests. And I said it last week, if you're not going up and opening up the mouth that God has given you and speaking to these priests to find out what they believe in point by point, that's affected ignorance. You deserve what you get. It's like going into a doctor and you don't check if he has a diploma or went to a medical school and you can have him operate on you. Ain't nobody going to do that. See how much people care about their own physical bodies? That if they get anything wrong with it, they want to make sure the doctor's qualified, especially open heart surgery or something. Is the guy qualified? Oh, but when it comes to their faith, they walk into the church and they don't... Oh, Father so-and-so saying Mass, and he says a beautiful Mass. Yeah, so what? What does he believe in? Well, I don't care, as long as he says a good Mass. They never go up and ask the priest what he believes in point by point, to find out if he has cancer of the soul, to find out that he's a notorious heretic, to find out that he's infecting his flock with heresy. So I'm warning all you people, and I tell you, right now God's giving you a grace by anyone who's hearing my sermon right now. Faith cometh by hearing. And on this Epiphany Day, I'm manifesting to you what you need to be saved. Don't go to any other websites, don't read any other stuff but my stuff that I'm putting out on my website and my material. And that's where you're going to find it. Now, you want to learn the hard way? Take the long road and the convoluted road, and you're going to be in danger of never finding the right road if you keep doing that. Now, yes, God can finally get you into the church even if you've made wrong steps. But I'm trying to make your steps as straight as possible so there's no danger of you staying into one of these heretical sects. All these priests and all these bishops are a bunch of bums. They are not Catholic. They're holding on to one or more heresies, and they're not professing a faith, and they're not demanding that everybody in their chapel holds on to the Catholic faith. And you can prove it by looking at new people that come into your chapel that go up to the altar rail. The priest never goes up and asks them, what do you believe in? Point by point. He even gives communion to people that believe in different dogmas, and he even professes to believe in. This is not God's will. This is not God's way. And I'm telling you, anybody who's in these chapels, you're not worshiping the true Christ. You're giving your gifts to the Antichrist, and you're doing the work of the Antichrist. You want to give your gifts to the true Christ on this Epiphany Day? Come into the Catholic Church before it's too late. And you don't have to become a member of Mary's Little Remnant. There's a difference. We're a religious order. I went into that before. We're not saying Mary's Little Remnant represents the whole Catholic Church. It's only the Catholics I know of today. Yes, because anybody that comes into the church today, we follow a certain routine with the divine office. We have certain rules that we follow as a religious lay order. But as long as you take that abjuration and profess all those dogmas and the abjuration I composed, and you take that abjuration and you live a Catholic life, you're Catholic. But you're only going to learn that from my website. Or if you don't have access to the computer, then ask for a catalog and order my writings. That's it. You want to be confused and remain lost? Go to all these other people that call themselves Catholic. Because they're all fighting with one another, all bickering. That's not Catholic. And they all, at the same time, when they're all fighting with one another and bickering over really important issues, they all get done and say, but we're all Catholic. Well, how could that be? That's not even logical. What kind of a God are you even presenting to other people who want to come into your church? And you say, wait a second, you told me you believe in this, and this guy believes in that. How come you're praying with that guy? You guys are hypocrites. That's even against common sense. Okay, so consider this sermon a little bit of a grace from God for you to let you know what you need to do to come into the church to save your souls on this Epiphany Day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.